What's up, Pod Fam? This is your favorite Podfather, Clem, talking, and I'm here to talk to you about 1-800-Flowers.com. There's no better feeling in the world than making your mom proud. Whether it was on the sports field, in the classroom, or conquering some other achievement, mom's reaction was always priceless. Enjoy that feeling again by making her smile with 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers has been slinging those beautiful flowers since we were kids, and we call 1-800-Flowers to get something nice for our mom on Mother's Day. Well, now you may have a wife that's a mom, you have a mom, you may have a mother-in-law, grandma, hopefully she's still alive. Get her some flowers, get everyone some flowers. 1-800-Flowers has grown up just like we have. They're 1-800-Flowers.com. Some of us are parents, some of us are older, a little wiser, maybe a couple dollars in the bank account. Put that money to good use. Take care of moms. She deserves it. Like Kevin Durant said, they're the real MVP. Show them you care a little bit, all right? Right now, 1-800-Flowers is giving my listeners an exclusive 24 for 24 offer. 24 multicolored roses for $24. That's only $1 per rose. Simply pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. To order 24 stunning multicolored roses for only $24, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code PODFATHERS. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code PODFATHERS. Hurry, offer ends Friday. Now let's hop in the booth with Boomer and the boys.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Podfathers. Today we're joined by maybe the busiest man on the planet Earth, former NFL MVP, one of the stars of Boomer and Carton in the Morning on WFAN, runs the Boomer Esiason Foundation, Inside the NFL. The list goes on and on and on. I call him, you know, people call him affectionately the Booms, Boomer. I call him Mr. Esiason. So please welcome Boomer Esiason to the show.
I appreciate that, guys. You don't have to do that. And I know this is the Podfathers. I know what this is all about. The thing that it's really hard for me to believe is that you guys actually are fathers. Yeah. That there was a woman somewhere that was stupid enough to get involved with you guys.
Yeah, oh yeah. The women were stupid. We were stupid. We're all in this boat together.
Let me just say this. I know that my daughter, Sydney, is actually a big fan of you guys.
Yes, sir.
It goes all the way back to her days at Boston College. I'm just glad she didn't bring either one of you home. She did the right thing by going with Matty Martz. You know what I mean?
I would absolutely agree with that, too. Yes. I would say that Matt is
I'm just messing with you guys. You guys are great guys. You're very popular. And I'm glad that you're taking the father thing seriously because that's exactly what you should be doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a different side of Barstool. It's a different side of us. But it's actually grown into something I think we all kind of enjoy more than the usual shenanigans. So
it is. You know, I work with the lunatic, Craig Carton, right, for 4 hours. You
absolutely
guys know that on WFAN, Boomer and Carton in the Morning. But one thing I will say about Craig, and the reason that I actually do love working with him, is watching him with his kids. You know, he's got four crazy kids that he has created crazy.
Those kids didn't have a shot. Right, they were crazy,
you
know, right away.
It's a learned behavior, but it's a learned behavior. Although you got to have the genes for it too, I would imagine. But we both take that part of our lives extremely seriously. Now for me, you know, my kids are 26 and Sydney will be 25 this year. So I'm kind of out of the woods, if you will.
Oh yeah.
From the responsibilities of having all that you have to take care of as a dad.
Mm-hmm. We're in the thick of things. Yeah. I got one and a half and one on the way. Chaps has an 11 and a four.
The 4 year old. My 4 year old can you straight up have her.
I'll give her away. On Craigslist and everything. Like, take her with the furniture.
How about you, Clem?
I got a 2.5 year old. Apple in my eye. She already has me wrapped up. I'm in trouble right
now. You are in trouble, and I can tell you it's only going to get worse. Wait until she gets 13. She's around her friends, and they all create drama. Yeah. And she may not be the one creating it, but she'll be the one reacting to it. And then you as the dad have got to deal with it because your wife will come to you, and she'll complain about something that she's doing, and somehow you got to fix it.
My older one just started middle school this year, and it is the death of me. Like, just the things that she's going through, like all those little emotions packed into a little 90-pound body.
And there's no answer. There's no fix.
I don't know what to do. It's like, no one does.
Girls are so mean to each other.
I know they are.
I mean, you hear even when you're dating your wife and she's your girlfriend, and like her best friends are like her worst enemy. They're like her rivals, and you're like, how do you go about this? Like, granted, when you're with your buddies, the more you make fun of each other means the more you love each other.
You know, it's great. I had the best of both worlds because I have a daughter, Sydney, and a son, Gunner. And I was able to do boy stuff with Gunn, and we used to call it man stuff. Let's go do man stuff. Let's get away from the house and all that other stuff. But then I would also take Sydney to Broadway plays. I would take her to Ranger games. I would do a lot of different things with her individually. And we created a bond that, you know, it's about as strong as a bond can be. You know, there's basically they're your kids. You love them. You'll do anything in the world for them. You'll provide for them. You want them to have a better life than you had when you were a kid. And you guys are living that. And it's, I think back to the days, and I still look back at pictures, and I still have a tear in my eye when I think back that, you know, there was a time where Sydney would, like, jump into bed with me at the age of four and go, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." Like, I was her hero. Right. And now she's just, thrown into a pain in the ass. She's my pain in the ass. Yeah. And I love her to death, and I still, to this day, would do anything for her. So, yeah, there's nothing quite like fatherhood, because it was once they're born, and I think you guys would probably attest to this as well, there isn't a night that goes by where you're not thinking about them.
Not a minute, I mean? Right. It's just constant.
And I always say to dads, like, do any of us ever sleep anymore? Once you become a dad, you never sleep, right?
No. We always talk about travel, like, because I live in Texas and come up, and, like, you miss 2 days, and you feel like you missed everything.
Yep.
And I will go to bed late from working here, and then I'm like, if I miss the 6:30 phone call before she goes to daycare, it's going to ruin my day.
Well, for me, it was, I was at the end of my playing career. And I played a year in Arizona. I played a year in Cincinnati. My kids were living in New York City, or New York, I should say. We decided that it was about the kids going to school and establishing a foundation for them and friends, as opposed to moving the entire family all over the place and going from school to school to school to school. And I was the loser in that, because I missed a lot in first grade and in kindergarten. But then I gained a lot back when I finally retired, and I was able to really participate in all the things that they did. So I was grateful for that. I will tell you this, that it happens so fast, guys. Before you know it, they're going to be, going to proms, and the next thing you know, they're going to be going to college.
Don't tell me that, Booms.
I'm telling you. And then they're going to come home to you and say, "Dad," especially if you have a daughter, "I'm getting married, and you're paying for it."
Oh, my God. Between college and the wedding, I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do
it. Here's what I would tell you. If you could afford it, I know you guys can. 529s. Got to start those 529s. Start them now. And I would start a trust fund for the wedding now.
Yeah.
And every time you have a little extra money to be able to put in those things, you put it in and you prepare for a rainy day. Because I'm telling you, it is coming. It is definitely coming.
Winter is coming.
And when their moms come to you and say, "Oh, by the way, she's got to have a $500,000 wedding.
The shoes, the dress, the
princess,
this, the that."
That's the way it works.
And you're not going to be able to say no to that. No. I'll take out as many loans as you
would. I would.
Well, the worst is if you have a boy and the boy meets a girl and then the girl's parents don't have any money. And then you
guess who's falling on anyway. Yep.
But that's the way it goes. But that's the life we all lead. We all have similarities in that regard.
So the main reason we had this all set up is May is CF Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Gunner is a trooper with that disease. Great kid. Let me just say this, because I'm a Jets fan. I listen to the morning show every single day. Huge fan of everything you do. After I got a chance to meet Sydney and Gunner, by far your biggest accomplishment.
Yes,
those
two
kids are awesome.
Yeah, Gunner's great.
And Gunner to the max with everything that he's done with the foundation. He's now set up the podcast. But the Boomer Esiason Foundation is a huge, huge factor in the fight against CF, and Gunner himself now. Talk about when you found that out. Is that something you were involved in? Was that running in your family? You were already part of it? As soon as he came along, that's when you ratcheted up the fight.
All right, so he was born in 1991, and he was not diagnosed at birth. Most kids today will be diagnosed at birth. The faster you know about a disease like cystic fibrosis, the better, because you have to immediately start keeping those lungs clear of bacterial infections and inflammation as quickly as you possibly can. So he was not diagnosed. So the first 2 years of his life, he was suffering, and we knew he was suffering, and we actually had him tested for cystic fibrosis. And the initial test came back a negative, which was good. We go, "Oh, my God, it's negative. Thank God he doesn't have it." So we were going on for another 6 or 7 months wondering what the hell was it. Was it allergies? There are specific signs of cystic fibrosis that now, if I knew what I know now, I would easily diagnose it. But we knew there was something wrong. And in the midst of all of that, I got traded from the Bengals to the Jets. So he got diagnosed in the spring of 93, right about this time of year in 93. And I had just stepped on the field for a Jets minicamp practice. I had not taken a snap as the Jet quarterback yet. Bruce Coslett, the head coach, was my former offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. Everything was going great. I'm coming home. This is going to be awesome. And then I get called off the field before I even take the first snap, saying that Gunner was rushed to Cincinnati Children's Hospital, because they were still living in Cincinnati at the time, and that I had to get back because it was an emergency. And I walked into the hospital, walked right into Gunner's room, and the first doctor I saw was a pulmonary disease doctor, and with him was the cystic fibrosis nurse. And I knew right then and there he had it. Now, I had known what cystic fibrosis was because I got involved in fundraising in 1989 when I met Frank DeFord, who lost his daughter, Alex, at the age of 8 to cystic fibrosis.
So you were already in it, and just by total unfortunate coincidence.
And what I knew about
it
was kids dying before their 10th birthday.
Right.
And my wife and I are standing there, and they're telling us about Gunner, and I mean, we bawled for about an hour.
Sure.
Yeah. Like any parent would. No matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what the disease is, no matter what you're dealing with, you get that kind of thing. It is shocking.
My daughter, Shay, got real sick when she was like 3 months. Nothing terrible, you know, it was just a bad sickness. And then afterwards, her lungs were just bad forever. And we did a sweat test just to rule it out. And there was no chance of anything. Mm-hmm. But I sat there in that room with her, a million degrees. And I was actually DMing with Gunner. He was telling me all about it because he saw that I was doing with her. And I knew everything was going to be okay. But I was thinking to myself, like, if we walked out of here and got that news, I just don't even know what I would do. We talk all the time. We go on the show and we complain about no sleep and diapers and all the dumb stuff.
Right.
But we always say, God forbid, we ever get any real bad news. But I don't think any of us are ever really equipped to talk about that.
I'm going to tell you what. You would know what to do. You would know exactly what to do. Just like you are setting yourselves up to take care of your children in the future. It's the headaches that we all deal with on a normal basis. The moment you get confronted with something like that, you know that that's got to be your life's work. You know that you're going to be there every step of the way to support your family, and you're going to support your kids, and you're going to make sure that they have an opportunity in life to be successful. And it doesn't really matter what the situation is. In this case, it happens to be cystic fibrosis for Gunner. We knew the disease really well because we had gotten involved before his birth. So there was a little bit of kind of irony here and destiny attached to this whole thing. And that's the way we looked at it. And then we educated ourselves, just like any parent would, about whatever the situation that their child is confronted with. I never thought, I really thought that Gunner would be a success, because I remember when they told us in 93 that, you know, there were drugs on the horizon coming to deal with the symptoms of the disease that would minimize the advancement of the disease, assuming that you were diligent in your treatments every single day, and that he would learn to be diligent with his treatments as he grew older and not be turned off by it. And certainly that has been the case, because he just had his 26th birthday. So when he was diagnosed, the average age, or the median age, was 19. He's now 26, went to Boston College for 4 years, has become the face of CF, has a podcast, as you pointed out, does a blog, talks about it, is open about it, tries to help other kids who are dealing with some of the things that he's dealing with. And even in his blog and his podcast, when he's talking to Julia Ray, who also is a cystic fibrosis person, they're very open and honest about what their disease is and what they got to deal with. But as a father, I have to tell you, I mean, it's like that kid has won 10 Super Bowls in my eyes.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I'm so proud of what he has become.
When I first met him at the Super Bowl, I was like, you know, it says a lot about a person when they're a good listener. Like, I was telling him about one of my buddies from high school who died of CF, and he just sat there, hadn't never met me, and just sat there and let me tell him the story for 10 minutes. Didn't interrupt once, just looked me in the eye and listened to the story. And he's just so compassionate, like, just, and that just comes through. So, I mean, you did a good job.
He's compassionate, but he's also, you know,
tough son of a bitch.
He's tough. He's got a chip on his shoulder, like most. Anybody
pretty
who is
wise for his age, too.
He is. You know why? Because those kids spend so much time with doctors and nurses at such a young age that they become so much more mentally mature.
Right.
You know, and significantly mentally mature quicker.
And he got it from his mom.
Right. Definitely from his mom. Definitely. But, you know, for us, like, this is how I thought about being a dad. As since we're on Podfathers, I might as well tell you. My dad was the greatest dad in the world. My dad lost my mom when I was 7, his love of his life, right in the middle end of his life, and he had to raise 3 kids. And this is a World War II vet who came back, he fought in Patton's army, saw the worst of the humankind, and basically had to raise 3 kids, and he did. And he somehow always made time, always created memories. And the memories weren't going to London or Paris. They were going to Lake Ronkonkoma, for God's sake, which is like 10 miles from my house, or going up into the Green Mountains of Vermont. But it was always about spending time with his kids, especially his son, because my sisters were a little bit older than I was. And we would go to Met games, go to Ranger games, go to Knick games. And he would always be there at practice, or he would coach me when I was younger. So I tried to adapt all of those things that he taught me and just applied them to Gunner. I mean, it's not like there's no roadmap.
We just talked about that a couple episodes ago. It was like there's no tricks. There's no, you just, it's trial by fire. It's
But you know what's right and what's wrong. You know in your heart, and it comes naturally. Now, thank God you got moms in your lives.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
For you guys and also your wives for your children.
Yep.
Because ultimately, I always think like this. The toughness, the grittiness, the discipline, probably most likely, and it's probably stereotypical that I say this, comes from dad, where the compassion, the love, the education, the emphasis on who you are as a person comes from the mom. And when I look at my two kids, I would think that that's exactly how it played out in our family. And I would hope that that's how it plays out in your guys' family, yeah, because sure. At the end of the day, mom's going to keep them straight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And mom's, you. She better.
Yes, and she's going to keep you straight as well. So I would just say, you know what? It's the greatest responsibility, but it also gives you the most reward, I think, fatherhood.
So you alluded to it a little bit before about your playing career. When it comes down to spending time, obviously, at the end of your career, it's tough to do. I mean, Chaps was a former Marine. He was being deployed. Like, we all kind of balance on a much lower level, me and Clem. We always kind of say, it's impossible to do your job and your family and your kids all 100%. You seem to be able to do things 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know when you... Do you sleep, period, even now with 20-something-year-old kids?
How many hours a week?
I would probably say, you know, last night I probably got... Which was a normal night for me. You know, there was a Met game on, so I'm watching a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
I probably fell asleep last night around 10:30, woke up at around 4:15 this morning. So that's a pretty normal off-season, NFL off-season weeknight.
Once
for
the
me.
Season starts cooking,
the season's
forget
crazy.
About it.
I'm
2 hours a night,
about maybe 2 to 3 hours a night.
I you're superhuman. I mean, we're complaining about not having enough time to do these things, and yeah. You do 5 extra jobs.
But I will say though, all my jobs are jobs that I love. You know, I actually do work with amazing people. I enjoy coming to work. If I didn't enjoy it and weren't making the money that I'm making, I certainly wouldn't, you know, be here doing what I'm doing. But when I took the job at WFAN, it started at 6 in the morning. You had to be committed for 4 hours. You're going to be working with a guy who should be committed. and you're going to have to deal with it. Well, 10 years later, it's been nothing but a major success for me personally and for us as a group here at WFAN. But it also, the tentacles that come off of it are insane. And the opportunities are insane. So that's what I would also say to you guys. Every opportunity that presents itself, man, sniff it out. Go look at it. Don't back down. Don't take anything for granted, because you don't necessarily know that those opportunities are going to be there 2 years from now. And the older you get, the more real that becomes.
Right.
And I think my dear friend Phil Simms is going through it a little bit. For whatever reason, whatever the reasons may be. Maybe he was tired of what he was doing with who he was working with, or maybe he thought the travel and the amount of games at his age was too much. Who knows what the real story behind the scenes is? But at the end of the day, sooner or later, it's going to come to an end. And you got to be prepared for that.
Well, so. That's why you're going to move into Francesca's slot. Right? You and Chris taking over.
You want to bring news right now?
Yeah, you want to tell us something more?
No, I'm not news. I am not. And by the way, I do think Phil would make a great radio guy. The question is, does he want to do it? I mean, again, yeah. Like when me and Craig started, everybody knew Craig was a radio guy. Al Dukes, radio guy. Eddie Scazzeri, radio guy. Jerry Recco, radio guy. I was not a radio guy. I just happened to be a TV and radio guest around, and I was more of a TV guy. So they thought that we were going to fail. A lot of people thought we would fail, especially people within the business. And I think there are a lot of people thinking that Tony Romo is going to fail.
Mm.
You know, and that's just part of the business. So the great joy I get out of all of this is that all those idiots at the beginning that thought
could
this was
not
never
be more
work,
wrong, man,
could not have
what
been
you guys
more wrong.
Have in there is I don't think anybody could replicate that. The it's like a little family of sorts that those personalities just click,
and everybody's great. You
dysfunctional
know, everybody
family,
knows their role.
But...
Yeah, it's dysfunctional for sure, but everybody gets their role.
Yeah.
You know, and even the support staff at the fan is about as dysfunctional as it gets. As we sit in Zach's studio here. And Zach's one of the biggest dysfunctional guys around here.
He looks sharp to me.
Yeah, he's dressed for success. Yeah,
if he's dysfunctional, you should come take a look at Barstool, pal. There's a lot. It could be a lot worse, buddy.
But you know, you guys, the whole Barstool thing. Wild. Where did that come from?
It started in Boston. Dave Portnoy just kind of started out making a free flyer newspaper that he handed out on the subways.
Brick by brick, as they say.
Brick by brick, salt to the earth. He built it. 2009, he was like, I want to expand into new cities, and that's where New York came from. I was writing a blog for fun on the side. I was an accountant. I was miserable. I just was doing that as kind of an outlet, and he saw it. My writing, so like liked what he saw there. So we went to New York, Philly, Chicago, the Baltimore area, Iowa, colleges everywhere. And just this past year is when we all got together in
New
York.
What is the one thing that worries you about the success that you guys have?
Mine is that they're going to find out that they just hired me because I was sitting in a closet talking to a shoebox and doing a podcast for five times. Like, I retired from the Marine Corps after 10 years, graduated college, and like 5 weeks later got a call from Dave Portnoy asking me if I wanted a job, and I was like,
"Were you deployed in your service?"
Yeah, that's why I got shot, and so they medically retired me.
Purple Heart Chaps,
really? Chaps right here. Well, Chaps, that's awesome.
And like what you said about your dad is kind of what I want my kids to say about me. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like when most people talk about me, that's one of the first things that come up, like that Purple Heart recipient, like combat veteran, stuff like that. I want my kids to remember me as, Mom said no popcorn, but Dad asked like he was going to the bathroom and came back with a tub of popcorn.
Right, exactly.
That's what I want.
Dad was like, if there's a story
like in my funeral, like that's the one I want told, that my kids are proud that I'm sneaking them Skittles and popcorn and shit.
Well, I don't know about that, but see, the thing about it, and shit, as you say, you've seen the shit, you know. Yeah. So you've seen death, you've seen what it means to be in a bad spot and not really know what's going to happen and how you're going to come out of it. And that's why you want to protect your children.
Right.
The other thing, too, is I always say this, and I'll never forget this, because we tend to be helicopter parents.
Oh, yeah.
My generation's the worst, because I think we created your generation. And now you guys are even worse than we are in terms of protecting your children, right? Like,
Yes. My wife won't let my kid go, like, halfway down the street. Yeah. Like,
helicopter just moms, right? You've heard the term. Helicopter mom is what I believe is the most powerful love between two human beings. That mother is going to protect their children as much as they possibly can and wants to make sure that they're always safe. I mean, to the point of just, it's
lunacy.
Totally unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember my mom all that much, but I do remember at the age of six, I was on my bike outside riding around, and I remember my dad ringing a bell that it was dinner time.
Time to go home, yeah.
My wife would never let my kids do that,
never,
you know, and
never.
I always used to say to her, you know, it's okay if they fail. It's okay.
It's almost necessary,
right?
I'd say, you know, you want to keep them safe, but part of growing up and becoming a successful person is going through some stuff sometimes and failing or being scared or something going
and
wrong.
And not getting a trophy.
Right.
You know, I would always say I would be tough for my kids. I would. But I'd be fair, but I would be tough. You know, if Sydney came home, oh, Dad, I guess. Shut up. Listen,
yeah,
I don't need
yeah.
this right now.
Listen, I feel like there's an in-between, somewhere between LeVar Ball and James Harrison. We can all live somewhere in between there,
that's
you know?
Good, Kevin. It's
my daughter, when she first started playing soccer, she was like 9 years old when she first started playing, which is kind of late, I guess, in the soccer world. And she was like, it's kind of cool that I'm one of the best soccer players in the world. Like, oh, I was like, no. She's like, well, like one of the best kid soccer players. I'm like, you're terrible.
You stink.
you don't even touch the ball like most of the game, and you're the goalie. Like you do.
I mean, honestly, could you imagine having a dad who was a Marine? I mean, come on. I mean, that would be pretty scary if you think about it.
Well, it's good.
Well,
like
showing the Ronald McDonald tattoo, it's not that scary.
Yeah. Like,
oh, there you go. Okay.
I mean, you do Marine things. Like
so
you do dumb Marine shit.
How do you explain the tattoos to your kids?
Daddy was dumb, and you're not going to do
like,
this.
I think they, like, my little daughter will be like, let me see the clown. And she, yeah. like, she likes it. My older daughter is getting to the point where she doesn't want to go to, like, the pool with me at the Y. Like, I'll take off my shirt. And she's just like, oh Dad.
So let me explain something to you. You're not the only one because, you know, I have an opportunity of a lifetime presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I come home and I sit down at the dinner table and there's my 15-year-old daughter. And I'm like, guys, man, you're not going to believe this. There's this new show coming on TV and it's called Dancing with the Stars. And the people that are booking the show, they want me to be in the show, the first ever Dancing with the Stars. Sydney, my daughter, looks at me. She goes, "Oh no, you're not! Oh no, you're not! No!"
She's probably seeing your dance moves, like while everybody's cooking in the kitchen and
but
stuff.
But you know what's amazing to me, Sydney? If we're at a party or at a wedding or at a black tie dinner that we do for our foundation, she always wants to dance with me. Why? Because she knows I can dance. She's seen me dance, and that's why I think that these people at the, you know, back at the day, in the day when Dancing with the Stars first started, asked me to do it. But she said, no, no, you're not doing
at
that,
at 15.
Dad. And I'm like,
you know, it's different.
Why
25 and 15 is very different.
Oh, Dad, you're going to ruin my life. Yeah. I am not putting up with this nonsense in high school.
But embarrassing your kids at that age is the greatest. Like, my daughter is, she's almost 12, and we have this new, like, throwback rap station in San Antonio. And so Nelly came on. It was like, it's getting hot. And I pick her up from intramurals after school.
Are you singing it?
And I loud as it goes in my truck and roll down the windows. And she, her face, like, she has red hair. She's redhead. And it, her face, like, matches her hair. She's just like, no, like, walking. Like,
yeah,
oh,
but
my
those
God.
Things are great. Yeah. Those are the moments that you live for. Like, the other day, I found a picture from Sydney. We were, I took her fishing up in Winnipeg, way north of Winnipeg, up in the, on the Outer Banks of Canada. We were fishing for walleye, and she was really good at it. So the place we went to kind of dubbed her the Walleye Whisperer. But she had those big teeth, and she had braces on.
Hope you're listening, Sid.
Yeah, she was in a very, very awkward situation, right? The worst time in her life, I'm sure.
Yep.
And so she's catching all these fish, and I got all these great pictures, and I have all these great videos. So I sent it to her boyfriend, Matt Martin, who obviously plays for the Maple Leafs, you know. And the email I get back from Sid is just, Dad, you know, leave me alone, stop. But
well,
that,
so
I love that stuff.
I got to ask you, we always talk about or get emails or calls about your kids' sports fandom. Do you, especially me and Clem, Mets, Jets, Knicks, you know, the worst of the worst.
I'm a Jaguar.
I'm a Giants. Hey, I'm a Giants.
Oh, that's right. You're the Gypsy. He goes Mets, Giants. I don't know how that happens. But, you know, do you curse your kids with that? Do you let them find their own way? What happens when you, probably a bigger Ranger hockey fan than even a football fan,
right,
has a daughter come home with a boyfriend playing for the New York Islanders?
Well, that was interesting.
I would imagine.
So, Sydney, you know, the one thing I will say about my kids, they don't have the street smarts that I have.
Of course not. Who has as much as you, Mr. Sison?
Having street smarts because of the way I grew up, you know, and I understand when, you know, I'm a Long Islander, so you know when people are trying to get over on you or trying to hide something, you just kind of know. So I kind of knew that she was dating Matt Martin because word got back to me, you know.
It's on Barstool.
That might have been right. That's probably right.
It's entirely possible.
I got all my information when they were in college, yes. So she calls me. She says, Dad, my new boyfriend's in the kitchen, and I know you're coming home, and I want you to meet him. I said, okay, fine. You know, he's a hockey player. Like, oh, really? Yeah, well, who's he play for? Islanders. And I said, well, get him out of the house. I don't want him in my kitchen. Get him outside. I'll meet him outside. No, Dad. You know, Dad.
Yeah.
That whole thing. So,
and then
said,
you walk in and you see Matt Martin with the long hair, the flowing locks. Looks more like a movie star than an athlete.
Well, she told me, look, Dad, it's Matt Martin. Do you know who he is? And I said, no. I knew who he was, of course. So I said, I'll be home in about 10 minutes. I go into our garage where we have all these jerseys hanging up. The shotguns and the jerseys. So I'm wearing actually one of these jerseys now, one of these Ranger jerseys now. I go in there and I grab a Brad Richards or Rick Nash jersey, that one of Gunner's jerseys, whatever, and I put it on. And I come walking in the house with the thing
Such
on.
Hey, pal, nice to meet you.
You talk about embarrassing your daughter?
Move, yeah.
You talk about embarrassing your daughter?
I
was just trying to embarrass the crap out of her right then and there. And Matt, you know, here's Matt, the tough guy for the Islanders. He's fighting everybody. He's got his hair in a bun or some crap. And I don't know. And I'm like, you know, I know who you are. Welcome to my house and everything else. I said, but look, you may be able to, you know, change her heart into an Islander fan, but, you know, this is who I am.
Right.
And you will never change me.
Not happen.
Or
not
the rest
even if
of
there's
my
a
family.
Fire.
Right, exactly. But you know what the cool thing about Matt is? And anybody who knows Matt, he's about as nice a guy as there comes. And the great thing that I see out of all of this is that he's become a really, really good friend to Gunner.
Yeah.
And Gunner, who's a huge Ranger fan like me, loves Matt. And he said to me, Gunner said to me, right after I got the, you know, introduction, he goes, Dad, do you think he'll like he'll become a friend of mine? I said, Gunner, he's your age.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Gunner couldn't like
you don't wrap your head around that.
Yeah. He's my age. I said, I'm sure he will as long as they stay together. You know, Sydney, she gets tired of these people and kicks him to the curb. Well, she never kicked him to the curb and kept him around, and they've become great friends. So, and Matt's a great.
He does a lot of foundation work himself too.
Yeah, he's got his
just
own foundation too. He's a great guy. He supports, and you know, he's the perfect guy for the. the Maple Leafs because they got this kid, Mitch Marner, who's like 19. Michael Nylander is 19. Austin Matthews is 20.
The fact that he's the elder statesman, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if the Maple Leafs are in good shape or not.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about Matt, you know, he's from Canada. He's from Windsor. He understands the way an NHL player needs to be. Mm-hmm. He understands how to be professional. He understands the unwritten rules.
Well, so let me ask you about that as far as with Sydney. You know, you're a professional football player yourself. You've seen a lot of guys, you know, let's call it like it is. Do a lot of guys want their daughter dating a professional athlete? Probably not. So when you first hear that, does that make your throat, you know, the heart jump in your throat? Athlete, or
no, not at
no,
all.
But you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of things you don't necessarily, you know, you're a good guy, Matt's a good guy, but there's a lot of guys who are not.
I had a lot of great friends that played who are wonderful people. And the one thing about an athlete, for the most part, they are dedicated to their craft, and if they're not, they're not going to be an athlete very long.
True.
So
true.
If she dated Matt when he was a rookie and he failed out 2 years later because of doing something stupid away from the ice, then I would say, what a huge mistake.
Right.
But he's gotten better ever since they've met, and he's gotten, you know, financially more compensated. He finds himself on a young, aggressive team now. He's made the right decision. And I would tell you that he's about as class as they come. So I'm happy for her. And really, what do we all want? We all want happiness for our kids. And I'm very blessed that both of my kids genuinely seem very happy with who they are, maybe with the exception of the CF part.
Yeah, I always tell my older daughter, if you come home with somebody and you're happy, I'll be that person's best friend.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Just as long as they're a good person.
I'll be their worst
nightmare. That's the thing, too, though. Exactly. I mean, yes, of course you want them to be happy, but if you see them saying they're happy with somebody
who,
you got to make sure they're a good person first and foremost, I think, even before their happiness, because sometimes kids are dumb.
Well, we are dumb, too, as parents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm an idiot. Hand up.
I know that when I see the two of them together, I can tell that there's a light in each other's eyes, and it's still there, and it's fun. And, you know, Sydney's an A-type personality. Matt, even though he is as rough as they come in the NFL on the ice, off the ice, he's the biggest pussycat in the world.
He's so soft.
And he's got the right girl for him.
Yeah.
She'll be leading him around by the nose. She's actually the enforcer in that relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's the goon. She's the hockey goon.
Yeah, she is the goon. Thank you. Very well put.
It kind of goes back to, like, you know, when you I think when you have a kid, you really, it does change you more. When you get married, everyone's like, oh, it's going to change. Nothing really changes. No. You know, your bank account's at zero.
The kid changes everything.
And I even noticed it myself. You know, when my wife said she was pregnant, I'm like, I want a boy. I want to do the dad stuff, you know, the father-son stuff. And then once they're in there, you're just like, I just want a healthy baby, healthy and happy. Yep. And then as they get older, you realize your entire life is basically, from this point on, it's just for them. Any dollar I make is to make her happy. I'm a realist here, you know?
Well, Clem, is a responsibility that keeps you up at night.
Yep.
It really does. And making sure that you have a job and that you're responsible and you're paying your mortgage, you're paying your car payments, you're paying your insurance payments, you're taking a kid to the dentist, the kid's going to the doctor, the kid's got to get new clothes, the kid's got to get stuff for school, they got to have new sneakers, it just never ends. And what I would suggest is that you take your credit cards, you get the app for the credit cards, and you get the notifications that anytime that credit card is used, that you have notifications that you know what the hell's being spent and what it's being spent on.
I'll tell you what's the devil is Amazon. My wife can hop on Amazon.
So can you. I hop on. I'm hopping.
Got like 10 pairs of shoes under the desk right now.
It's perfect. But I just think that parenting is there's no real book. You do it by feel, and somehow, some way, you know, I don't want to get too corny here, but I think God gave you the intrinsic understanding as to what it takes to be a great dad. Mm-hmm. And it's time. It's effort. It's listening. It's holding kids accountable and then pushing your kids to be the best they can.
And that is why I say you're so busy worrying about your other kid. That's why we start to wear the same clothes and tell the lame jokes, because we're too busy worrying about their lives.
You become a dad.
I don't have the time to be myself.
Right. Like, I can't be cool anymore.
I used to be cool when I was in my 20s.
You ruined it.
My
coolness.
Yeah. You sucked the life out of me. It's their fault, Sierra.
So let me ask you this question. If your kids were asked at school, can my dad come to school or your dad come to school?
Man.
And talk about who he is and what he does for a living. Would your kids want you to do that?
That's my biggest fear. You asked what the biggest fear was?
Yes.
I used to laugh at this guy when he was on his podcast and writing his blog saying, that guy, when he has kids, they're going to be like, oh, my God, Dad, I just found out who KFC Barstool is. You're KFC Barstool. And now I have bunch of nonsense written on the site too. And my poor daughter, if they ever tell her your dad's Clem, like how do I say
I might have to like scrub the entire internet by the time she can read. I don't know.
So what do you think?
I would hope by the time that she's of age to be doing, you know, career day at school or whatever it's called, that hopefully we've grown and evolved a little bit. Right now it's still
I'm 34. I'm about as
That's it.
Yeah, but, the thing is, yeah, but you have two, you're living two lives. So right. You were a Marine, mm-hmm. and you know, now you're doing the podcast and everything else. So
and before I was a Marine, I was like a preacher, dude. Like I
so
had
you have three lives.
Three lives. Yeah, he's, very different lives. I dropped out of seminary to join the Marine Corps.
Really?
And now he's with us.
That's unbelievable.
Talk
so,
about.
I mean, if your daughter says, "Dad, can you come and talk?" Now, will you do it without your shirt on? That would be awesome.
If it's a request,
that would be awesome.
You know, yeah. I hope it's. I think the kids would always enjoy it. I'm always worried about like what would the teacher say. That's who I'm always worried about. What does my wife's friends say? That's where I feel like I'm the most embarrassing.
You but, know what, KFC? If you feed your family,
that's all. That's I don't all care matters, what anybody man. Else thinks. Man.
That's all.
If
you
they're
have
happy
to do.
And they're that's good. Right. I'm good to go. I'll wrap up doing some CF talk. But first, I'm having my first son. I got a daughter, son in July. And I, you know, doing the Barstool thing, as I was like, oh, I'm going to get nothing but daughters. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, you know, so hard.
Yeah.
Then I got a daughter and she is the best thing that's ever happened. I love her. She's cool. She's funny. We have the daddy daughter thing. Now I feel a little bit more pressure with a boy. Cause like you said, you got to like the grit and the toughness and the smarts and the street smarts.
Stuff. Just do your man stuff.
Is that your advice? Just do the man stuff.
Do your man stuff. So what is man stuff? You know, I used to ask Gunner if he wanted special spot time. Special spot time was him under my arm and us watching a ball game. Or that's a special that. Spot time was him under my arm watching, you know, whatever movie was out at the time, whether it
I
be
might
Rug
steal
Rats.
That directly.
Right, man stuff, special Kobe spot Boomer. Time.
Special spot time.
Yeah. We always call it daddy baby time.
Right, yeah. I mean, everybody has a different way of doing it. And then I always thought, like I wanted to create memories for my kids, and I did it in different ways. Like I told you, I took Sydney to, you know, ball games, but I always had a special time where I took her to Broadway plays. Gunner didn't like the Broadway plays. Or I took her to the Spice Girls, or I took her to, you know, NSYNC.
Mm-hmm. I always thought you were a big Spice Girls.
Yeah, I was. Oh, well, Spice Girls were hot back in the day.
Which one was it?
Oh, what's her name? Beckham's wife.
Posh Spice.
Yeah. So I had Sydney on my shoulders at all these concerts.
Yep.
And so I was the cool dad when she was 6, 7, 8 years old, and that's where you really start to develop all those great relationship modes. But Gunner was the same thing. But I did different things with Gunner. Like I would take him, I taught him, I think at the age of 8 or 9, how to shoot a shotgun.
Okay.
You know, we would go
man
shoot shotguns.
You're talking
stuff.
Real man stuff.
Real hard man stuff. You know, I would always have a truck. I'd always let him sit on my lap when we were in a good area where he could drive.
Don't
and all
tell your
that.
Mother
My
sort
dad
of thing.
Did that stuff too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Take him to Ranger games. You know, we went to Super Bowls. You know, I was playing football. He was in the locker room with us for a couple years. And I'll leave you with one story. You talk about protecting your kids. This is where it really hit me. And this is when I realized that Gunner's mom was a helicopter mom. So Gunner comes to me in 9th grade. He says, "Dad, I want to play football." And I'm like, okay, you know, you got CF and you want to play football. Okay, you know, you're really thin. You're not very heavy. You know?
Right.
But he really wanted to play because he wanted to be a part of a team in 9th grade. And they were looking for kids to play football because they needed numbers so they could actually field the football team. Most likely he probably wouldn't play, but he wanted to go out for the team.
Right.
So I said, well, look, you know, it's cool with me. You got to go ask your mom. Your mom's going to say
good
it's
luck.
Okay.
Ask that
what
mom.
I didn't know is that he went to his mom already, and his mom said the same thing that I said. Go
wow.
talk to your dad. And he schweened me into saying, oh, if you want to play, go talk to your mom. So he took that
Those
as.
Those are the smarts.
Right. He took that as he was allowed to play. So now he's allowed to play. And Cheryl comes to me and says, you know, what did you do? Why are you letting him play football? And I'm like, why not? He's a boy. Man stuff. Let him be. And, yeah. He's got CF. We can't. No. Kids with CF, we're telling kids with CF, go out there. Be normal.
Play hockey.
Come home
play
and
football.
Do your right. Do whatever you want to do, but just be normal because you're going to be abnormal when you come home doing your treatments, which is a whole nother story. But so he plays. So it's around, I think it's his 11th. 11th grade year, he's a junior, he's the backup quarterback, he hasn't really played much, it might have been a sophomore year, and we're playing this team on Long Island that is the best team in the division. They are big, fast, and they beat up on everybody, and Gunner goes to a private school, so these are these lily white kids, mostly,
mm-hmm.
who have never played before, against athletes like this, and they're scared crap that they're going to get their asses kicked.
Right.
And my wife says to me before the game, look, he better not be playing in this game. This is the helicopter mom du jour. He better not be playing in this game.
Little red O next to his name on the jersey.
And I'm like, your wife's giving the coach the church eyes.
Oh, my God.
Like,
it was a DNP wife's decision.
Right. That's exactly right. But I was like, oh, my God. You know, there's a very good chance that the starting quarterback's going to get hurt.
Right.
And he's going to have to go in and play. And I can't go to the coach and say, don't let him play. So better than that, what I did do is I went to the opposing coach, who I know because we support that particular school. It's not a very well-funded school. It's a public school. They don't have a lot of money, so we gave them all uniforms from my high school all-star game, and they look sharp. They look great. It's a football team that deserves to look good because they beat everybody, and they beat everybody down. So I go up to the coach before the game. I said, look, I know what's going to happen here, and I know my son's going to get in the game. You guys better not hit him because I don't care about anything else, but my wife is going to be all over my ass.
So you're cooking the books.
What happens to that kid? I don't need that aggravation in my life right now.
And it's not even about him. It's about the headache I'm going to have to deal with.
So the coach says to me, he goes, I got you, Boom. Don't worry about it. And sure enough, it's like 50-0, start of the third quarter, and the coach goes, Gunner, you're in. I'm like, holy crap. And I'm getting yanked on by my arm. Yeah. And she's like, he better not get hit. He better not get hit. I mean, she was like,
I can't even imagine a mom in that situation.
Listen, she was ready to run on the field and grab him and get him in the car, embarrass the crap out of all of us to save his life. I mean, this is a CF kid playing against this team that is kicking the living crap out of his team. So he goes on the field, and I'm like, oh, my God, please, man. I hope this coach is paying attention. And I hope his players are paying attention. Coach calls timeout. The other team's coach calls timeout. Brings his team in, is talking to his team. He's like, listen to me. And I'm watching him. And I'm like, oh, my God. He's like telling him to kill the kid. No, what he was doing, he was acting like he was telling his team to go after him. But said,
classy
any of you son of a bitches, cross the line of scrimmage. You're never playing again. We are not to hit that kid. But he was making it look like he wasn't telling the kid.
Right. Nobody gets embarrassed that way.
Right. Yeah. So the ball gets snapped. Gunner goes running around the corner. And you can hear the parents of the other team going, get that son of a bitch! Get that
kid! Other helicopter moms.
Yeah, get him!
The other helicopter moms. The funny thing was, is the kids never crossed the line of scrimmage. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, my God. This is going to be okay.
Yeah, it worked.
No, good. Gunner's going to have a good experience, and I'm going to have an even better experience. So, you know, that's the helicopter dad, mom, and you. And, you know, you do
cool moment for you,
can
too, to see that on
safe.
The football field, right? I would imagine.
Yeah, you know what?
Your background.
Gunner's football experience, I mean, he might have played in about 3 or 4 games as a high school senior. And oddly enough, all the coaches on Long Island put Gunner on their all-star team. As I do Long Island versus New York City, I didn't expect them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they put him on the All-Star team, they had him start the game.
Oh, wow.
As the starting quarterback for Long Island against New York City.
Very cool.
And before the first snap, the New York City kids got up out of their stances, the defensive linemen and everybody, crossed the line of scrimmage, and surrounded Gunner and gave him hugs.
Cool.
I mean, I was crying.
Yeah.
I was absolutely crying. I could not believe it. And then Gunner hands the ball off. The kid goes 90 yards for a touchdown. Because
suckers.
All the New York City kids are like all compassion and everything else. And that was Gunner's play in that All-Star game.
Very cool.
It was awesome.
Well,
so,
I mean, the fact that he got a chance to do that kind of stuff and is now 26.
Dude, I'm a richer man because of him. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it, the work, again, the fact that your football career and your broadcasting career come at a distant third and fourth probably to being a dad and what you do for CF. Is pretty remarkable. You've done a lot for a lot of people in your family and out of your family. So CF month, the entire month of May is, we're gonna fight against this. You got a lot of events coming up. We got Gunner's podcast. We're gonna put all the links out to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. We'll tweet everything out. We got you covered. Is there anything you want to say on behalf of the foundation and for anybody out there with CF?
Well, first of all, thanks to you guys for doing this.
Of course, anytime.
And putting a highlight on it. You know, I'm proud of Gunner, but I'm proud of the message that he's sending out for all these other CF patients all across the country. And I get a chance to meet a lot of these kids. I was in Columbus, Ohio this past week. We're talking about a different program that the state of Ohio supports CF kids with. And we're trying to fight for that program, and it looks like it's going to stay intact, which is really good. But I met two beautiful twins who are runners in their own right. Think about that. You have a disease that affects your lungs, and you have kids that are on the high school track team, high school football team, lacrosse mm-hmm. team. I got kids that are playing hockey. I got kids in theater. I got, you know, straight A students who are CF kids all across the country that 30 years ago would not have been the case.
Right.
So we have come a long way. And for everybody who supported our foundation, the National Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and have read Gunner's blog and heard his podcast, thank you for supporting us. And know that as a CF dad, I will do everything I possibly can to continue to shine a light on the great CF people that we deal with each and every day.
You want to help support it, go to Esiason.org, or you can go to GunnerEsiason.com for all of his work, and go support it. I mean, Boomer's done a lot for everybody in New York, sports fans, radio fans. It's time to give back and help Gunner and help all the other kids out there with CF.
All parents who have to go through that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, everybody, it's it takes a village, right?
It sure does, especially in this world and especially in the CF world. You know, it's about $300,000 a year to take care of a CF kid.
Wow.
And, you know, not everybody has the insurance that I have or can fill in the loopholes that I have. So that's why we offer scholarships. We offer hospital support. We offer lung transplant grants. Our foundation has raised over $130 million since its inception.
Wow.
We have built the Gunner Esiason Adult Cystic Fibrosis Center at New York Presbyterian, the Gunner Esiason Pediatric Cystic Fibrosis Center at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and have supported many hospitals along the way, including many in Boston, where they went to school. And we also have the Boston College Scholarship in Gunner's name for cystic fibrosis patients and families. So we got a lot of things going on, and May is a very, very big month for us. CF Awareness Month, organ donation awareness year-round, and that's probably one of the things that we all can do is become organ donors as well.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you want mine. Mine are pretty crappy, but you know.
You never know. They may work.
Hey.
I just say stay away from my liver, and you're probably good.
All right, Mr. Esiason, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Casey, thank you very much, guys. Have a great day, and thanks for having me on the podcast.